We're starting a new series of messages this morning on Paul's letter to Timothy. If you want to grab your Bibles and open to 1 Timothy, what we're going to do between now and the 1st of December is work our way through line by line Paul's letter to 1 Timothy and then 2 Timothy, and that'll take us 13 sermons, and then it's going to be December, and there's a number of things that kind of just, December just kind of takes care of itself, if you know what I mean. So if you're counting, there's only 17 weeks till Christmas. So better get your shopping in now. Anyway, our letter to 1 Timothy, and it's a letter to us as well. So this is what we're going to do. Today we're going to cover the first 11 verses that talks about instructions, and then we'll cover the next 8 verses that talk about grace, and then we'll deal with chapter 2 that's all about worship. And then on the 25th, we'll talk about the leadership in the church, the overseers and deacons. So today is September 4th of 2011. We're going to talk about the instructions that Paul gave to Timothy in the first 11 verses. And how well do you do at reading and following instructions? How well do you do at that? I told you in prayer requests that I came home from the VA hospital with 3 different prescriptions, and each one of them has like 2 pages of text that they print out and give to me. I'm very faithful to read the label on the bottle and to do what that says, but I really don't read all those pages of the effects and side effects and so on and so forth. Now, Julie does. Julie likes to read all of that and understand all of that when she's in her right mind and in her right normal strength. She wants to read all of that and know all of it. I don't really do very well in my natural state of following instructions. It's more like, yeah, let's try this. That could happen. But that's not a real good biblical attitude. I'm trying to work on improving that so I read the instructions and follow them better. Now, was the Apostle Paul somebody who was not afraid to write out instructions and expect people to follow them? He's really pretty gutsy about, this is how you do it, this is the way I want you to do it, and this is what I expect you to do. So he did pretty well with that. And his letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, he wrote, "Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I am sending Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, who will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." So, this letter was written to church in Corinth, and Paul, what was Paul saying? He was essentially saying, look at how I live and live like that, wasn't he? And he was sending Timothy to the church in Corinth, and as we see later in 1 Timothy, he sends Timothy to other churches as well. So what was he reminding him of? He was reminding them to imitate him and the life of Christ that he had. So, could that letter have just as well been written to the church in Colossae as the church in Corinth? I think that's a message that we need to hear. Imitate me. Imitate this life of Christ. We've had Paul tell us several times in our recent studies, put on this life. Put on the armor. Put on this stuff. And I was talking to somebody the other day and they were saying, well, that's kind of fake, isn't it? You just put that on. You know, I have a couple pieces of Under Armour that I wear when I go motorcycle riding and deer hunting to kind of keep me cool. I actually have an Under Armour t-shirt on right now. You know, so it's not fake that I have Under Armour on. It's the real thing. when you put on this life of Christ, it's not a fake thing. It's really what you're wearing. And when Paul challenges us to imitate that, it is something that's totally capable for us to do. Now, did you notice when you were reading your Bible Thursday in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." There it is in very short form. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So do you do that? Do you look at what Paul says? And do you look at the life of Christ? And do you try to imitate that? Do you actually put that on and wear that and allow that to become your experience? I came up with a very simple Bible study. Last couple of weeks I've had a really complex one, but this one's very simple. What was Paul's example? What was Christ's example? And then what will I do with it? We've always got to get to the point when we read the scripture, what am I going to do with the truth? I'm either going to ignore it, I'm going to read it and think about it, I'm going to apply it, I'm going to disagree with it, but we should react with it in some way, shape, or form. So, open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's read the first 11 verses. It starts out with, Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus Christ, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer nor devote themselves to myth and endless genealogies. These provoke controversies rather than God's work which is of faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Verse 6, some have wandered away from the truth to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if it's used properly. So, we also know that the law was made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels and ungodly sinful, the ungodly idolatrous, irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, adulterers, for perverts, for slave traders, liars and prejudice, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious and blessed God which He entrusted to me. So, let's take a look at Paul's instructions and see if we can find some examples of Christ's life and his life and see if there's something in this for us today. So, let's start with the first two verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So what is Paul's example to us here in this passage? When you look for his example, what is it? Could it be that he is a follower of Christ? Could that be his example? That he's taken seriously this commission that Jesus said in Matthew, he said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Do you think that's his example, that we're supposed to take serious this challenge, this command from the Lord? What about Christ's example? What do you see here for Jesus Christ's example? Could that be the grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ our Lord? Let's just try to unpack that a little bit. So, what does grace mean? If you had to just flip out a definition, grace is I did that to the girls at the dinner table last night over a steak on the grill, and they say, that's God's unmerited favor. We didn't merit the favor. It's unmerited favor. You receive what you don't deserve. And I said, okay, so tell me what mercy means to you. And they sit there and saw it a little bit on their tender steak and pretended like they didn't hear me. And I said, so what's different about mercy? And the different about mercy is, grace, you don't get what you deserve. And mercy is, you get what you don't deserve, which is this righteousness of God. And then, if you continue to unpack that, there's grace and there's mercy, and then there's peace. And in the life that you and I live, peace is a very unique commodity. My wife Julie, since the point of coming out of OR when they removed her brain tumor, the vast majority of the time has had a great deal of peace with what's going on with her. And I was visiting yesterday and I said, you know, it's unusual, but I have a great deal of peace as to what's going on with Jules. And the discussion went to, maybe it's because of the eternal perspective that I understand what Julie's going to experience in the near future is much better than what we have here. And that she's going to go to a place that's much better than what we experience. So I have peace with what's going on with her. I was in the VA hospital on Wednesday, and the guys in dermatology were looking at my shingles, and they were reading over my records and talking to me about it, and they said, you know, the guys and girls in ER really misdiagnosed you, didn't they? I said, yeah, they thought I had Grover's, but it was really shingles. And they said, when they gave you that shot of steroids, that just amped that up tremendously. Aren't you upset with them that they made it so much worse? I said, well, no, not really. I mean, I'm one of the best examples of humans that make mistakes. You know, it was just an honest mistake. And the guy just couldn't fathom that you wouldn't be ticked off at these people who caused you so much pain over an extended period of time. But I'm really not mad at them. I'm at peace with it. Now, when you look at this in your life, what are you going to do? Are you going to resemble Paul's life and follow Christ, take serious the commands of... Are you going to embrace some form of grace or mercy or peace today? What are you going to do with that? Move on with me to verses 3 and 4. As I urge you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor devote themselves to myths or endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. So when you look at that passage, what's Paul's example there? What's Paul's example in the midst of that? Could it be that bottom line that he is a man of faith? That he's a man who lives by faith in the midst of all of these uncertainties and falsehoods? He walks by faith. Now, what about Jesus' example? What do you see about Jesus' example in the midst of there? Is Jesus one that always taught truth? He never taught false doctrines. He never taught these absurd genealogies and all of this other stuff that people get into. You know, just the other day I was having a conversation about the end times with somebody, and they wanted to argue over pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, evacuation of the believers. There is a point in time when God takes a significant number of believers and just extracts them from the earth. They're just gone. Two people are out in the field, one of them's gone. Two women are doing this, one of them are gone. And it just happens in a spontaneous, spectacular form. And people want to argue over, well, that happens, all the believers are taken out before the tribulation takes place. Well, some other people think it's in the middle of the tribulation that they're taken out. Now, does it really matter when we're taken out? Is it really anything worth arguing over? But see, that's the same kind of stuff that Paul was talking about here. Don't get tangled up in that. So, what's the point? What will you do with this? Will you live by faith? Will you live in truth and not in controversies, but just in the simple truth of who Christ Jesus is and allow that resurrection life to become your life on a daily basis and not get into all of this other rigmarole? Look with me at verse 5. The goal of my command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. A fellow could build a whole lesson on that one verse. So what's Paul's example there? Is Paul a man with a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith? When you read all of his letters, he is someone who genuinely lives this life, and he lives with a good conscience, sincere faith. What about Christ's example? What is Christ's example in that passage? Could it be love? Could it be this love? Did Paul just tell us a few messages ago when we were studying his letters to other churches that love is the fulfillment of all the law? Do you remember reading that? If you genuinely learn how to love like the Lord Jesus loves, if you literally let the love of God flow through you, as Marty led us this morning in our first song, if you follow Him, remember that? If you'll, the next song, if you'll sincerely submit to Him, if you'll actually do what we sang about and allow that life of Christ to live through you, you will completely fulfill the law. So when we move on in a few minutes and talk about some of these points of the law, you have to do that from the context of love fills it all. He fulfills it all. How about when you were reading the New Testament with me? Did you notice that God's choreographing of our lives? We read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 last night, which is titled The Love Passage. Did you notice that last night? It said that what did it say? Love is patient. Love's kind. Love doesn't envy. Doesn't boast. It's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, keeps no records of wrong. Man, wouldn't that make a difference in a marriage? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Think about that. That's the type of love that Paul's writing about here from a good conscience, sincere faith. This type of love that he wrote to the 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, that's the type of love that he's talking about. That's what Jesus' example is to us. So what are you going to do with that? What will you do? What instructions do you see in that for you? What do you see there for you? Anything? Move on with me to verse 6. And some have wandered away from these things and turned to meaningless talk. Oh, boy. So what was Paul's example in the midst of that? Did he just stick to the true way? Did he just stick to Christ crucified, Christ's resurrection, Christ's redemptive work? the righteousness of the believer, the forgiveness. He just stuck to the truth and he didn't get all tangled up in all those other things. That's what you and I should work on, just sticking with that way. What was Christ's example? Can you ever remember reading a statement or a conversation in the Bible that Jesus was just doing chit-chat or small talk? Do you ever remember him doing the meaningless things that we do so often? He didn't fiddle-diddle with that small talk stuff, did he? Maybe in our lives, that's something that we need to see. That maybe we get involved too much in this meaningless talk and never really get to the important things. We just stay in the chit-chat, small talk mode. Look with me at verse 7. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We have preachers today that will take bizarre spins on the Bible and confidently say that's what we're supposed to do. But what was Paul's example? What was Christ's example? What will you do with it? This meaningless stuff? What are you going to do? Do you really think that all this endless chatter about the law is important or relevant? Now, as you move on to the next verse, we know that the law is good if it's used properly. If it's used properly. So Paul's example was, the law is good and you use it in the right way. You use the law with the lost. What was Christ's example for the law? He said, all of it. I'm going to fulfill all of it. And none of it is taken away. How do you fulfill all of that? Man, there's a lot of rules and regulations. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. How do you fulfill all of that? You genuinely love. You genuinely experience the love of God, radiate the love of God, and you fulfill it all. That's what's done. So what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with the law and using it properly? Now, here is what Paul says. We also know that the law was not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels. For those of us who have been born again, and God made us righteous before he forgave us, for those of us who are righteous, all those rules and regulations are not for us. We fulfill them as a natural result. But what do you use the law for? You use it for rebels, ungodly, sinful people who are irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, who murder, for adulterers, for perverts, for slave traders, liars and prejudiced, for whoever else is in contrary to sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel that God blessed us with and he entrusted to me. So that's what the law is for. It's for the bad guys. And what's Paul's example? He said, when I'm with the lawbreakers, I preach the law. When I'm with the righteous, I preach righteousness. It's used for the ones who are lost. They need to see that if you break one of those rules, you're eternally damned. You need to observe all of them. And only in Christ Jesus can we experience that. Christ is our example who fulfills all that for us. So what are you going to do? The simple Bible study was Paul's example, Christ's example. So what are you going to do with Paul's instructions, his example, and Jesus Christ because of this letter that he wrote? Are you going to do something in your life based on what he wrote to Timothy? Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at practical instructions of what we should do with our life and practical examples of how that should shape and mold and form our lives. So do something with it. Either get ticked off by it, love it, allow a portion of it to change your life in some way, shape, or form, but don't just ignore it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the presence of your Holy Spirit and the power and the wonder of your Holy Scripture. We thank you for Paul's letter to Tim, and we pray that as we look at what he asked him to do and he explained it to him, that it would have an impact and effect on our lives. Not just our lives, but others. Those we love, those we care about, even those who are difficult to get along with. Even as Chelsea goes to deal with the Muslims that hate us, that your Holy Scriptures and your Holy Spirit would have an impact on the folks that hate us. And actually, through us, you could touch their lives. So we pray this day that each one of us would seek a personal relationship with you. If it's a first encounter of salvation, we would do that by your grace and through faith and your great love to us. If we've known you for a while, that we would reestablish, reaffirm this relationship, and we would seek to live lives that we could say, follow my example, like Paul did, as I follow Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray that we as a church would follow you closely and that your kingdom work would be done in and through us. We worship you. We pray in your holy name, sir. Amen.